Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome in to another episode. Brad Locke here with you, as well as Dalton Milton, as you just heard in the intro, the new intro that we just recorded, because Gene Phelps, as we've mentioned before, is now retired, ridden off into the sunset, Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you and me.
It is. Ready to get started with you, though.
Well, and of course, Dalton made his debut on here last week, so you have heard his voice before. You'll hear it going forward here on this podcast, and football season is just it's arriving very quickly, and that's going to be the main topic of conversation. Of course, preseason camps began this week for area teams. I think most teams hit the field Monday, and so Dalton's already been out to a couple of practices, more to come, I'm sure. So we'll talk about a couple of the teams that he's seen so far, and also going to talk about some tragic news out of North Pontotoc. I'm sure y'all have heard about a young man, offensive lineman for the Vikings, who passed away quite unexpectedly. So we've got all that to cover. Just a reminder that you can listen to this podcast in many different ways. We're in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Also, can stream it online, preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Let's start with Tupelo. Might as well. That might be the best team in the area, Dalton. We haven't put out any official preseason rankings yet, but you know they're going to be considered. And now they've got some guys to replace, obviously, as every team does. But just kind of what were your first impressions? Again, Dalton's kind of new here. You know of Tupelo, obviously, because you're from the general area, but you really got to see them for the first time, didn't you?
Yeah, well, when we went out there Monday, you know, it's first day of practice. They kind of just went through some drills. They didn't do too much running plays and whatnot. But
yeah, they're not even full pads by this point.
No, they helmet and T-shirts. That's all they had on. But there was a couple guys that really impressed me. I got out there around 5 o'clock, and they started going out there and warming up. And there was a young kid; he's a sophomore named Peyton Puckett, who's supposed to be a starting wide receiver. I don't know if he's going to start; he's going to be a wide receiver for them this year. And he was really impressive, just throwing around. You know,
yeah.
Very has a lot of skill. And then I watched him kick around and do special teams for a while. And their kicker, Josh Smith, really impressed me. He was nailing kick after kick from 45 yards out over and over again.
Yeah, he's very good, and people may know he was the same kid that was the pitcher in the crucial Game 3 of that championship baseball series when Tupelo won state this year. But anyway, yeah, go ahead. Who else?
Yeah, well, McLaughlin impressed me whenever I was watching them throw some passes. I didn't get to stay the entire practice because of deadline, but when I was watching them just run through some passing drills, he looked good. He had some good connections with him and Jordan, the returning leading receiver.
Jordan Jernigan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And him and Peyton Puckett, they both looked good on catching the ball, and McLaughlin had pretty good accuracy the other day.
Yeah, Stephon McLaughlin got a lot of playing time last year as a sophomore, made some really strong impression on anybody who watched him, kind of a big guy who can he can run. He's got a live arm, and so there's a lot of expectations on him coming into this season. But I know one thing the Trent Hammond, the coach, talked about in your story is just kind of putting last year behind. I mean, it was a good year, 12-1. They didn't go as far as they thought they could have, and so it's just they're just kind of trying to focus on the now, aren't they?
Yeah, well, when I was talking to him, he said he learns a lot from Nick Saban, and pulled a quote from Nick Saban that's talking about how it is a program, but this is a team, not so much of a program.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So even though the team was so great last year, that doesn't matter now. You know, this
right.
is a whole new team, and, I mean, they're replacing a lot of starters. I mean, it looks like a brand-new team. So he said
right.
that the people that are focused on last year, I mean, they could be disappointed. I mean, he said that he thinks this year, though, that they could be a lot better with a worse record, is what he told me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Gene mentioned this, that Tupelo has 5 or 6 D1 caliber players, at least, on this mm-hmm. team. Trent Hammond's worried about the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, the other 16 or 17 that he's got to put out there. And the defense only has, I guess, 3 returning starters now. A couple of them people already know very well, Jet Johnson and Peter Gray, the linebackers there, both seniors. Peter Gray just this week committed, in fact, made a verbal commitment to Texas San Antonio. Of course, Jet Johnson has committed to MSU, and I saw he officially got his offer this week, so they've officially offered Jet.
Yeah, Peter Gray also got his official offer yesterday.
Right, right. Oh, good. Okay, so, yeah, those guys have decided where they want to go to school, but they got one more year to make things happen, and, you know, this defense, you just look at the numbers from last year, Dalton, and it was one of the best defenses in the state. I'm curious with all the starters they have to replace, you know, if they'll be that good again.
Yeah, well, adding to them too, you know, there's Tay Standifer.
Yep.
He's also, I think he has 8 or 9 scholarship offers as well.
Sure does.
I mean, he's going into the most important year as a junior. And, you know, he told me he's looking to become a leader on that defense this year. So I think he had 60-plus tackles last year and interception. So I'm excited to see what he is, but, I mean, they have to replace – those are only 3 returners, so they have to replace 8 people.
Yeah.
But Judge Johnson told me that, you know, last year, you know, that when they played, they want to be one of the best defenses, and this year they don't want to be one of the best defenses. They want to be the best defense in Mississippi.
Yeah.
And it depends on how they replace those 8 guys, they could be.
Yeah, and I think offensively they'll be very good if McGlon continues to progress as we think. I mean, just looking at his numbers from last year, he passed for 1,105 yards, 68.1% completion rate. That's really good for a sophomore, a guy who's you know, had not been a starter at that level before. Threw 11 touchdowns, I think only 3 picks, and they've got some other weapons. You know, you mentioned the Jernigan kid, Jaquarius Williams is the running back, but they got plenty of talent on that side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I talked to McGlon, and he said that he worked all summer on 7-on-7s, and he felt that his connections with wide receivers were getting a lot better than they were last year. So he seemed confident with, you know, this year with throwing the ball.
Yeah, yeah. They'll have a good balance there between the run and the pass. I mean, obviously he's a dual threat, and I mentioned Jaquarius Williams. He had a, I mean, he almost gets overlooked on this team with all the other names we talked about. Don't forget, he's one of the best running backs in the area. He rushed for over 1,100 yards last year and 13 touchdowns. And so he's definitely a guy that's not easy for defenses to handle. So just an early look at Tupelo. Of course, we've got the football section, the special section coming out in a couple of weeks. I guess it'll be Sunday after next, the 13th. So we'll have more on Tupelo there. Let's talk about Ripley. You got to go out Tuesday to see the Tigers. You got a new coach, Sam Hathorn. Not a new coach. He's been on staff there, but he was a replacement for Chad Cook, who left rather late in the summer to take a new job, so they had to transition quickly. What kind of your first impressions of going up there?
Well, for Ripley, I got to stay a little longer and watch a little more of their practice than I did for Tupelo, so I got to see a little more. And from what I got, just like Tupelo, they have some good skill players, but their offensive line, I think they're kind of small. Overall, their team is going to be a little small. Hopefully, they make up with that with some speed. They have a couple guys who are probably 2 or 3 that are, you know, 6'3", 6'4", plus. But other than that, I mean, everybody looks kind of small. The running back, Makishio Adams, he looks like a stud. They didn't have pads on, but just he was very explosive.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that he could have a great season this year. There's 2 wide receivers. It was Jay Johnson and Chauncey Jackson, who both look really good. Chauncey Jackson, he's probably about 6'2", 6'3".
And wow.
He can jump out of this world. They're really looking forward to him having a good year. And then Trey Blanchard, just he doesn't have the strongest arm.
Yeah.
He doesn't. He's a small guy, but he was really accurate.
But he's kind of new to quarterback, isn't he? Didn't he play mostly defense last year?
Yeah, he was their starting safety, and from what Hawthorne said, you know, he was a great safety at that. And he said that they're going to really miss him, but he said that he thinks that he's going to be a better quarterback, so we're going to see how it goes. He's not going to play both ways. I asked that.
Yeah. It's going to be tough for a quarterback to do, especially at that level. And one thing that Sam Hathorn is focusing on is, he made a point of this in your story, is really developing relationships, building relationships among the team members. How are they doing that?
Well, from what one of the ways he told me was the most effective so far was from where last season and the years before, where he let the lockers just sit wherever they wanted, or people sit in their lockers wherever they wanted, he switched it to where they're sitting by numbers now. So, you know, 1 through 10 sits together, basically position-wise.
Right, position groups, yeah.
And the senior defensive lineman Andrew Brown kind of mentioned that as well, and I wrote that in the story that you know, he's getting closer with his defensive line, and he said that he's already starting to notice that on the field, just going through drills and such, how they're standing out and how they're working together better.
Yeah.
And you know, it makes sense to me. I like it because,
well, you played high school football. I mean, you can kind of speak to that.
Yeah, and when we were there, we had our locker room wherever we wanted. And so I was around all my best buds. And that's one of the things he said, is because they're not around their best buds, they're open to building more relationships. And I think that's true. I mean, there's a couple guys on my football team. We were a little smaller, but, you know, I wasn't close with all of them. I didn't talk to all of them. And I think that's essential for a team. You know, everybody should be close.
Yeah. And then you've got this, and in all of this, you've got the fact that they're having to make this transition from Chad Cook to Sam Hatherin, who, again, was offensive line coach for the past 5 or 6 years there at Ripley. So the kids know him, but still, he's got his own particular brand of coaching. And being a head coach, you approach things differently than being a position coach. So best you can tell early on, I mean, did that transition seem to be going okay for them?
Yeah, it seemed to be going well. Everybody, From what he was saying and from what it looked like the players respected him well, one of the things I liked about him yesterday, just watching him when I was standing on the sidelines, was he doesn't let anybody walk on his field. If you're on the field, you're running.
Yeah.
And I liked that about him. And I even talked to one of the former players. I didn't catch his full name. His name was Isaac. He graduated in 2012 and went and played at Itawamba in Delta State.
Okay.
But he was saying that how great of a guy Hathorn was, and how he just thought how he was going to be a fantastic coach for them.
Yeah. Well, he comes from good stock. Actually, trivia, I know his dad, Dale Hathorn. Dale, former basketball player at Mississippi State, 7'2". Oof. Yeah. Now, Sam's a big guy, but he ain't as big as his dad, 7'2". But Dale's a good guy, too, so I think, yeah, that runs in the family. So Ripley football appears to be in good hands there with Sam Hathorn as head coach. One more thing we need to talk about, and you hate having to cover something like this, and this, you know, you've been here what, a month?
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I don't know that I've ever had to cover at the high school level, and certainly it's not as big an effect on us as on the people close to this kid. Obviously, not trying to say that, but it still makes you sad. But the young man for North Pontotoc is going to be a senior lineman for the Vikings this year. Ty Rayford was found dead Monday after the first practice of the season. Don't think we know exactly what caused it now. Apparently, according to the coroner, he had a history of elevated blood pressure. So not sure if that had a hand in things. But yeah, Ty Rayford, big kid, man, 6'6", 360, couldn't move him off the line. Mm-hmm. I mean, a kid that size, but also had some quickness to him. You and John Pitts kind of tag-teamed on this story. John spoke to a guy, Webb Lewis, who had run this football camp, and Rayford was at this camp. He said, kind of a quiet kid, call him a gentle giant, but once he got on the field and the whistle blew, he's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, from what just what I was seeing on Twitter and in the story and from Webb Lewis, you know, couldn't get past him. He was going to be an elite player for North Pontotoc this year.
Yeah.
But from, like, in the statement the school gave me yesterday, super nice guy. He was very kind, and he's going to be missed dearly.
I believe they had a prayer vigil for him Tuesday night at the school. And so, you know, they got a new coach there, Andy Crotwell. You know, kind of wonder how that just affects a team at the beginning of camp going into the season. I mean, we've seen this before. I think Calhoun City last year dedicated its season to a guy to a teammate who had died a year or two before. I think as a sophomore he had, and his senior class honored him. They went on to win state last year. So, you know, this does happen from time to time. It's just it's a tough deal, and certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody affected by this. Hate to see the loss of such a promising young man, but we'll have more about North Pontotoc and then what they'll be doing on the field again when we have the football magazine coming out here in a couple of weeks. So look for that. Dalton and others are bearing down on those stories. They're putting in a lot of work, getting info on all these teams. We've got 46, 47 teams that we cover around here. So that's a lot, but we'll have all the good info for you coming up here in a few days. And we'll keep doing this podcast every Wednesday. Dalton and myself, trying to bring y'all our own perspective on all the things happening in high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Thank you all for tuning in. Again, you can listen to it in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dalton is on there. I'm still trying to memorize it. At DLMiddleton8. Yeah, there we go. At DLMiddleton and the numeral 8. So that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. We'll see y'all next week.